Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. So we're on part two of our series, Thankful Life, and last week we kicked this off, and the whole idea here is as we head into the holidays, right? The holidays are coming and they're coming fast. As we head into the holidays, it is so easy to leave behind thankfulness, which is ironic because next Thursday is Thanksgiving. We give thanks, we pause, and we say thanks for all that we have and all that we're experiencing. And yet during this season especially, when there's gift giving and there's families getting together and all of that, and pies, thank God for pies, right? Pecans, my favorite, right? All those pies and all that good stuff, it's so easy to forget about thankfulness. And so what we're doing before the holidays really, really hit us, we're just stopping and we're putting a spotlight on some of those things that can easily just get us away from giving thanks. And last week, we put a huge spotlight on money. Right, we talked about being content with what we have. We talked about maybe working less and giving more during this season as a way to guard our hearts and not so much walk away feeling that January debt hangover. You know, that feeling and, man, I bought it, I regret it. I bought it, I regret it. And instead using our money to make an impact in people's lives and in our own life. And today we're going to talk about this word joy. Joy, right? Today's title is Joy to Your World. And so I'm telling you, this is a little bit heavier of content. We're going to be reading the words of Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus. But I want it to make a difference in your life. Because as we enter this season, there's some words that are going to come up over and over and over. Right? You're going to hear the word peace. You're going to hear the word hope. You're going to hear about love and good tidings to all men. Right? We're going to hear those things. And anyone here, it's church, you want to admit you already started watching Hallmark movies? Yeah, I know. I see your hands out there, right? It's like it's going to happen. You're going to get this theme of joy. Right? You're going to watch the movie on Hallmark, and it's just from start to finish, and there's a little like tension in the middle, but you know he always ends up with the right person, right? And things always work out, and the business always succeeds, and we just get this theme of joy over and over. And you know what that can do for me and maybe for you? When I think about my life and I go into the holidays, I know that there is as much potential for joy as there is for pain. There's as much potential for me to walk away feeling filled with joy as much as me feeling filled with pain and questions and doubt. And how come they get to experience joy and how come their life looks like a Hallmark movie? And mine doesn't. And why don't I get to celebrate? And we have all of that tension. And I'm telling you, the holiday season has such potential to take that spotlight and shine it on those pain moments in your life. And shine on the moments where there's suffering and where there's hurts and things that are unfinished and dreams unfulfilled and wish lists that don't go answered. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you as your friend and as your pastor and just encourage you. And before the holidays even start going full swing, let's talk about how to have joy. So I've got some good news for you because today I brought with me my joy box. All right, so I brought my physical joy box, and I want to show you some of the things that bring me joy. But what I need you to do to play along with is I need you to think about your joy box. So if you had a joy box, right, and you were putting things in it, you were taking things out and saying, you know what, I had a rough day. It's been a long week. You know what I need at the end of this day? Is some chocolate chip cookie dough, but the extreme kind, like the extra cookie dough pieces, right? We're going to go hard. It's been a hard day. But maybe for you, when you look at your joy box, you'd say, yeah, there's comfort food in there. There's some things that they just make me feel good. And I just, at the end of the day, I'm glad that I have that. And maybe for you, and I know this one's a little weird, but it might be your job. Right? It might be that, hey, and some of you are like, no, you're in the wrong church, pastor. It's not my job. Right? But for some of us, it's, you know what? Stuff at home isn't going so well, but at work, I feel so appreciated. I feel so much value. I have so much worth. I actually get joy out of what I do. And so I like being at the office. And that's why we talked last week about maybe it's work less and invest more in your relationships. Maybe for you in your joy box, it's your job. It could be relationships that you have, right? This is me and my wife on our wedding day, 9 years now, over 9 years, but you might be saying, you know what, I'm grateful that I have some relationships in my life. That, hey, when I'm feeling down, when I'm going through some hard stuff, thank God for family. Thank God for friends. I'm just so thankful I have relationships. It could just be stuff, right? We're coming up to a present season.
So it might be, you know what, I love when I get things, and we're going to give away an iPhone today. I'm just joking. It's an empty box. But you might say, you know, if I could just get some new stuff, if I could just have some things. I think the greatest thing that brings me the most joy in this box is executive member at Costco. Praise the Lord. Anytime I'm feeling down, just go hit the sample aisle, right? It's just, but whatever it is for you, you've got your joy box, right? You've got things that you put in there, and you've got things that you pull out of there. And for all of us, we live with our joy box. And let me say a couple things so you can't try to predict where I'm going with this. The first is, nothing in there was wrong, okay? So it's not, you shouldn't have relationships, you shouldn't eat ice cream, you shouldn't go to Costco. Good Lord, it's definitely not that. I mean, we have these things, but I've found there's a couple problems with the things in my joy box. The first is this: every single thing in there doesn't last. It doesn't, and I know we don't want to talk about that, and that could be so morbid to think about when it comes to relationships. But the reality is, everything that's in my joy box, it comes with an expiration date. It comes with an end date. It comes with a time where it stops fulfilling me. Where, hey, you ever experienced this where you said, if I could just have this, if I could just be with her, if I could just know him, if I could find Mr. Right, if I could land the right job, if our house could be bigger, whatever it is, and then you get it, and it's not as fulfilling as you thought. And you thought, I mean, that was supposed to be the thing to bring me the most joy. That was my purpose. That was my satisfaction. But you know this. I don't have to convince you. Those things do not last. The second problem I found with my joy box is that everything in there, while it can bring some joy, it does not have the capacity to overwhelm me with joy when I'm being overwhelmed with pain. Right? These things are great. My marriage is great. My children are beautiful. But there are things that I will go through in life. There are moments of suffering. There is pain. There is loss. There are question marks. There is doubt and fear and skepticism that can get in here that nothing out of that joy box is able to overwhelm. It's great to go home to my wife. It's great to go home to some mint chocolate chip ice cream. It's good to do those things. But there are some seasons that we go through in life where our relationships don't do it for us, where our job doesn't do it. Nothing is the escape. And maybe for you in your box, you could think of some things that you know aren't healthy. There might be experiences or substances that you're just trying to numb yourself and get out of what you're facing because it's so hard and it's so dark. And you think it's going to bring you joy, and it doesn't work. So then what do we do? Because especially during the holidays, I mean, it is going to be so easy for us during this season, this month, and next to be reminded of the pain and the suffering. You're hoping for a better job, and you're reminded how you can't buy presents for people. You're hoping for relationships to work out, and you're reminded it's another Christmas, and we're not getting together, and they're not here. And all of that wells up in us during this holiday season. So what do we do with that pain and suffering? And what do we do with the stuff in here? I mean, is the answer just kind of dump it and throw it away and say, you know what, I shouldn't want these things. I shouldn't have these things are wrong. I want to talk about that today, and I want to put a big spotlight on joy and suffering before the season really gets going. As your friend, as your pastor, maybe as someone that we're just meeting each other. But to do that, we're going to look at the words of Peter. So Peter was one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 men that Jesus said, come follow me, come be my disciple. And it's amazing because Peter got to experience all that we read about from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these guys who saw or knew someone who saw. In fact, Mark, the second gospel, the second piece of writing in the New Testament, was written by Mark, but it was dictated by Peter. We don't know if Peter was eloquent enough to write down things, which I love. Like, Peter was just that guy. So when Peter was going to give the account of Jesus, he had to tell Mark to write it down for him. He was a fisherman. He might have never known how to write. He always had people doing it for him. But Peter was an eyewitness to Jesus, meaning Peter saw Jesus feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Peter was there that day. In fact, I just read this recently. If you've ever heard the story about the 4 friends that brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus to have him healed, but they had to dig a hole through the roof because the door was too crowded, some scholars believe that was Peter's house that they dug through. So imagine, let's put some play with that, that Peter, with his loud mouth and who he was, is yelling as people are digging a hole through his roof. He saw that happen. He saw Lazarus, one of Jesus' best friends, come back to life. He heard every story. He saw every miracle. Now, that's all the Peter's highlight reel. But Peter also doubted. Peter was skeptical. In fact, it was Peter. I don't know if it gets worse than this. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. Could you imagine being called Satan by Jesus? That's a bad day. And that was Peter. And Peter just said things and just did things. And after Jesus died on the cross, Peter abandoned him. The night before he was killed, Peter denied him. So I say that because if today you're saying, "I don't know that I can believe in Jesus. I don't know that I could raise my hands and worship him the way people around me are." I want you to know that Peter was skeptical. Peter doubted. Peter was fearful. Peter hid with the other disciples in a room with the door locked because they were afraid that the Romans were going to come crucify them as well. And yet after all of that, when Jesus appeared resurrected, Peter went on to start one of the first churches. And later in his life, in fact, 5 years before he dies and is martyred for his faith, Peter has this letter written to the church. And the whole idea of his letter is what we're talking about today. How do you have joy when you're suffering? Come on, how do you have joy? What joy can you find in this world, in this life, when you're going through those moments of pain, when you're suffering, when things aren't the way they're supposed to, when you're just hoping it's going to work out, and it doesn't? And Peter, later in his life, before he's going to be martyred and when he's seen so much, sits down to have this letter written. And the whole theme is joy and suffering. And he starts in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead." I want to stop there. Because Peter is setting the stage for who he's going to talk to. So this is the beginning of his letter. All he's done in the first couple sentences is introduce himself. But he gets right into it and says, "Look, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again." He's using this kind of inclusive language that I want to invite you into. You've got to pay attention to this. So Peter uses this phrase that maybe you've heard before and have kind of stumbled over. It's been a little confusing. This phrase of being born again. Have you ever heard that or used that? Someone ever asked you, "Hey, are you a born again Christian?" You're like, "I don't really know what that means. Explain that to me." That's found. Peter said it, but Jesus was the first person to use this analogy, this image, when he was talking to a religious leader and said, "Hey, your religion is great. Your do's and don'ts are, that's cute, but you need to be born again. You need to be born again." So I want to explain what that means. Now, this is a science class, so we're not going to get graphic, okay? So stay with me. But you know that when you were born, in order for your birth to happen, someone had to suffer to make that happen. And the person that suffered was your dad. Just joking, ladies. It was awkward laughter. Like, is he serious? No, it was your mom. Your mom suffered to bring you into this world, right? I've seen my wife suffer 2 times now to bring our children into this world. Right? So when you were born because someone else suffered. That's how birth works. So when Peter and Jesus use this idea of being born again, we need to apply that to this context. So in order for you to be born into the family of God, in order for you to, as he's saying, give praise to God, not just God in the sky, but God the Father. That's why Jesus said, you can say our Father. Well, how can I call him Father if I'm not his child? Well, how can I be his child? Oh, you need to be born again into his family. In order for you to be born, someone has to suffer. And what's so beautiful about the message of Jesus is that your birth came through someone's suffering, and that someone is Jesus. You were born into the family of God, or if you're kind of saying, "But I don't know if I'm like, I don't know if God calls me his child." Okay, well, your right, as John says in John 1:12, to be called a child of God is given to you by Jesus. That means you can't earn it, you can't work for it, you don't deserve it. I can't just make myself be all of a sudden a child of God. No, someone has to suffer. And that's why he says, "All praise to God, our Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, his great mercy, that we have been born again." So as we talk about this joy that Peter's going to get into, you've got to understand that this joy, that I'll just kind of jump to the end, that he calls glorious and inexpressible, is for those who are born again. Now, that is not exclusive because all people are invited to be born again, because Jesus loves the world, because we read that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if today on November 11th, you're saying, but I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if God would want me. He does want you, and he sent Jesus to this world to suffer for you. And so you are invited to place your faith in him. And when that happens, now Peter says, now we live with great expectation. That's how I want to live my life. Yes, I know that there's some suffering. He's going to talk about that, and there's some hard moments, but he's getting into it now. He's saying, listen, you've been born again. That means you live with great expectation. What am I expecting, Peter? Verse 4, we have, I love this, a priceless inheritance. There are some things in my joy box that have a price tag on them, and there are things that are priceless. I hope that we could say our relationships are priceless. You know, that we can't buy that. My children, my wife, priceless. But Peter says, hold on a second. For you who have been born again, you live with great expectation because you have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Now, we're getting ready to put in some security here. We're using a ring system and all that. And you try to protect our things. You protect your things at home. But there's no greater security system than heaven, okay? Like, if God's going to protect something, he's going to throw it in heaven. He says, your inheritance is so priceless. It's being kept for you in heaven. It's being guarded for you. It's pure. It's undefiled. It can't change. It can't decay. Now, follow this. This is cool. The analogy that Peter continues to use. He's talking about birth. He's saying you're going to be born again through the suffering of Jesus. But how do you receive an inheritance? I know this is morbid. But you receive an inheritance when someone passes, right? They write you into their will and they say, when I die, you get this stuff. So how do you think you get your priceless inheritance from God? Someone has to die. And we receive an inheritance because Jesus died. That's good news. That means the inheritance that is waiting for you, that is being kept in heaven, undefiled, beyond change, beyond decay, it was made yours because Jesus died. And I'll tell you, I believe that that's liberation, because that means you don't have to kill yourself trying to please God. You ever done that before? Religion will make you feel burnt out and tired. Man, if I could just do one more good thing, then God would love me. If I could just give more, if I could serve more, if I could pray more, if I could read more, all these great things that we do because Jesus has changed us, but it is not to kill us. Jesus died for us so that we might have everlasting life. That's our inheritance. All right, this sounds good, Peter. I love where you're going. I mean, I'm born again. I've got an inheritance. But let's talk about some of the suffering, because it's real hard to remember that when I'm going through hard moments. And he goes there in verse 5. He says in verse 5, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. Until that full inheritance is yours, God is with you, he's protecting you. It's going to be revealed on the last day. And then he says in verse 6, and this is the moment of disconnect. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Now, I just want to make this more real than how it appears on a screen. Because it's easy to just read this in church and just be like, yeah, okay, many trials, but come on, put in there the trial you've been facing. What is it that's been keeping you up at night? What is it that you wake up thinking about? What are you going through? What is your many trial? Because it's not so quick as we just read it, next slide. No, it's not that. And Peter is using some words, and that's why I say this is the potential for disconnect. Because as you know your story, and you know your story, and you know the many trials and what it is, how easy it is to say, man, this is antiquated. Peter didn't know what he was talking about. The guy up there doesn't know what he's talking about. All this stuff we can say in our head to disconnect. But stay with this. The Holy Spirit wants to do something in you today. I believe that. And Peter's saying, look, you got to be truly glad. I know you're going through many trials. Have you ever asked this question before when you're going through something hard? If God's real, why is this happening? Come on, I believe we've all asked that question. I'll tell you, I have. Maybe you've asked it a different way. If God's real, then why is there suffering in the world? If God's real, why did this happen to me? If God's real, why not? Why am I not experiencing this? We ask that question in every form of it when hard moments come. And before we read what Peter says, I want to just preface it with this. Peter is not about to give you the answer you may want, and he's not going to give us every answer to that question. I believe that what Peter says next is possibly, it's one possibility of what happens when we suffer. I want to say it this way. It's more than what he says, but it's not less than what he says. Meaning at the very base of what he's about to say, this answer will exist if you are born again and in Jesus. But I believe there is also more potential for more. We can read that in John or James and Peter and other writings. But look at what he says. He says, these trials, that hard moment you're going through, the thing that's not going the way you thought, it will show that your faith is genuine. And nobody amen there because we don't like that, right? I don't want to hear that. Listen, isn't there a better way God can show my faith genuine than me having to go through this? But think in your own horizontals. I love when I have opportunity to walk couples through pre-marriage conversations and get together for weeks. And one of the questions that I ask is, have you ever fought before? Tell me about your first fight. It's like, why are you asking that? Because for me, as I'm walking with that couple, I want to know that you've gone through some hard stuff and that you've come out on the other side kind of unscratched and still loving each other. Maybe a little bumped and bruised, but you still love each other. Because you know this in your relationships. Your relationships are not tested when everything's up and to the right. Man, that's the good stuff. You used to honeymoon phase for 3 decades, whatever that, but then year 31 comes, right? And then it's, okay, now we're going to actually experience our relationship in light of the test. What's going to happen? And I know we kind of look up at God and say, I don't understand why I'm going through this, and there's got to be a different way. And again, Peter's just offering, hey, listen, when we go through these trials, as someone who's been born again because of Jesus, as someone with a priceless inheritance waiting for us, Peter's saying, you know what? Your faith is being tested to show it's genuine. And then he gives an analogy to try to help us understand it. He says that it's the same way that fire tests and purifies gold. Now, in this culture, gold was the most precious ore, precious metal that they had. And in order to purify gold, they would throw the metal into fire. They would boil it up and let all the impurities come to the top and just kind of scrape off the impurities. And then you have that pure gold. But I love what he says. Your faith is far more precious than mere gold. The faith you have in Jesus, especially when you're going through a difficult season, that is precious. That is something to hold on to. He's getting ready to tell us about joy. This is our starting point. You have faith in Jesus, then you're going to have some other place than your joy box to find joy. You're going to be able to do something with this stuff if you've got your faith in God. He says, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, I love this. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Now, I'll tell you, you can't read this too fast because look at what Peter does here. We're just singing a song about, you know, Jesus is going to come back. And we believe that Jesus is going to come back. And on that day when Jesus comes, look at the words Peter chooses to use. He says, praise, glory, and honor. Now, those words, we're always giving those to Jesus. But look at what Peter does. He says when your faith is tested and it's proven genuine, on the day that Jesus returns, those words are actually going to be your words that day. How amazing is that? That our King that we've been ascribing worth to is going to say, yeah, you trusted me, so you share in this praise right now. You share in this glory. I know you went through trials. I know it was difficult. I know you wanted to give up. And this day is coming. So here's how I want you to remember it as we go into the holidays. There's more for me than what I see. There's more for me than what I see. If you can take this and just make it your own over the next 2 months, there's more for me than what I see. And this applies to the good things and the hard things that we go through. If this season for you is more a season of pain and suffering, and you're reminded of how things are not the way they should be and the way you want them to be, you've got to be reminding yourself, oh, there's more for me. There's a priceless inheritance. I've been born again. God is guarding my reward. There's a day coming when I'm going to experience some glory and honor. I don't get it at home. I don't get it at work. I don't get it internally, but there's a day coming. And also, if you're constantly going to the joy box and you're constantly celebrating all the things that are good, blessings, gifts from God, but you're putting your worth and your joy there, you've got to remember, there's more for me than what I see. These things can be gone. These things have an end date. So if we want joy that goes beyond a box and that brings us through these moments, we've got to remember this. I love the blessing that Peter says in the next statement. He says, you love him, meaning Jesus, you love him even though you haven't seen him. Now, if you've never seen Jesus, he's talking about you. So he's talking about me right now. How cool is that? 2,000 years ago, Peter talked about you. You love Jesus even though you never saw him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice. And that's present tense. He doesn't say you will one day rejoice once you get out of this trial. He says, and you rejoice right now in the middle of it with what? A glorious, inexpressible joy. That's not the joy that can fit in this box. That's not the joy that I can make or manufacture. That is glorious and inexpressible. Why? Because I'm placing my faith in Jesus. And he says the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You are way more. If you ever wonder, what's a tattoo? It says this skin and bones is a rental. This stuff is just a rental. I'm way more than skin and bones. I'm way more than flesh. There's a soul in me. There's a soul in you. And the salvation of your soul, that reward, is held in heaven by Jesus. It was purchased by Jesus. It was given to you by Jesus. And your faith in him, that is what's precious, especially in those hard moments. And so as you navigate the holiday season and you look around you, and maybe people are celebrating and you wish you could, and you thought this would be the year for the promotion. You thought this would be the time for families to get together. And this would be the time when I could finally buy gifts for my kids. And you go through all these hard moments. I want you to remember there's more for me than what I see. And when you go to reach into the joy box, I want you to do something different with it. Because these things are good. We're not going to get rid of them. But we're going to put them somewhere else. And I know this is pastory and cheesy, but just go with me here, okay? So I got a Jesus box, okay? You need a Jesus box in your life. And what happens is if I just keep going over to the joy box and I take something out and say, I think it's been a hard day. This is going to fix me. I think I need a better relationship. I think I just need a new job. I think I need some comfort food. If I keep going there, I'm going to keep running out. My suffering is going to overwhelm everything I take out of here. But when we are in Jesus and we place our faith in him, we take our entire joy box and we put it into Jesus, and suddenly the whole thing changes. Because now what happens is if I'm going for something in here, I'm going to enjoy a relationship, but I'm not going to find my joy in the relationship. You know the difference there? I'm going to enjoy everything that God has given me. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to thank him, but I'm not going to find my joy here because this ends, because this is temporary. And so we can enjoy you. I can enjoy these things because Jesus is my joy. Because before anything else that I can reach for, I am found in Jesus. I have a priceless inheritance. Do you see why this is so important for you to be reading throughout the week and for you to be connecting with others in group and for you to be praying and for you to be on a team? You need people to remind you. I need people to remind me, especially when I'm suffering and going through hard moments. That, hold on, my joy is found in Jesus. My joy is in him. My inheritance is held for me. My being born again came through his suffering. And so all of these things have their proper place in him. And now I can enjoy these things without attaching myself to them. So I have two prayers for you that I want to pray over you today. And the first is I want to pray over you that you would not attach yourself to these things, that you would not find joy in these things in your life, that you celebrate them, and if there are things you are praying for and hoping for, you pray and you hope and you believe God, but you have the Holy Spirit put that guard on you to say, but my joy is found in Jesus, but my inheritance is held by Jesus. So whether these things come or they don't, I have joy that is what? Inexpressible and glorious. And I want to pray for you who are suffering today and who are suffering during this season and how the holidays can just put a spotlight on that suffering and remind you so much more that things are not the way you had hoped. I want to pray that God would give you joy, that he would be your peace, that you would not feel alone and isolated and left out and forgotten and all those lies the enemy tries to tell us, but that you would have joy. Do you know 5 years after Peter wrote this, this is scholars and historians date about 5 years, Peter was martyred for his faith. History shows us that he was crucified, but he was crucified upside down because he believed that he was not worthy enough to die the way his Savior died. Could you imagine that? And so he decides, I want to be crucified upside down because I'm not worthy to die the way my inheritance died, the way the one who suffered for me to be born died. Peter knew something, guys. In order to live that out and die that way, he knew something. And just because there's a 2,000-year gap doesn't mean we can't know it today. It means we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts to find our joy in Jesus. We're going to ask him to give us joy in the middle of suffering, in the middle of trials. My hope and my prayer for you as your pastor and your friend is that when you get into Thanksgiving and Christmas and whatever you celebrate this time of the year and you get around tables of other people, or maybe you wish there were tables to get around, and as you open gifts, or maybe you wish there were gifts to open, that you would have joy beyond those things, that there is more for you beyond what you see. So I'm going to ask our band to come up, and we're going to sing one last song, but before we do, I want to pray for you, and I want you to stay in your seat as I pray for you this time. Because I want you to have a moment where you connect with Jesus, where you just let the Holy Spirit do something in your heart. As I just pray that God would stir your heart towards joy, would break any connection or tie to something you're hoping for or already have that you think is that source. That God would give you the strength and the boldness and the faith to pick it up and put it in Jesus. And for those that are suffering, that you would find joy that goes beyond the suffering you're experiencing. So let me pray for you if you would bow your head. Father, I pray for this church right now. For those in this space and those watching, God, I pray that you would first break any ties we have to stuff. And whether that's an experience or our jobs or our family or friends or whatever it is, God, we don't want to find our joy there. We want to enjoy that stuff without finding our joy there. It doesn't last, God. It's not strong enough. It's not good enough to overwhelm our pain and our suffering. So God, I pray your Holy Spirit would show us right now, what is the thing? What is the hope? What is the wish? What is it we currently have that we're attaching our joy to? And Holy Spirit, give us the faith to see you break it. And God, I pray for those who are suffering today. For those who maybe it's been decades or months or just days. Maybe it was this weekend, God. We go through these moments in life where the pain is so real and the holidays can make that even more real. I pray, God, for joy that goes beyond understanding for this church. I pray for a glorious, inexpressible joy to be alive in our hearts. We who are born again because of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, that we would have joy, unspeakable joy. God, we need you. We cannot do this on our own. We can't make it happen. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. God, would you give us that joy today? Make this holiday season way different than any other. In Jesus' name, amen.